Welcome to the Ringer NBA Show. I'm Chris Vernon, and joining me on this Tuesday is Jonathan Charks. Jonathan Charks from TheRinger.com. What up, Charks?
What's up, man? How you doing?
You've gotten a lot of attention over the last couple of weeks as I unveiled to everyone after meeting you for the first time in Las Vegas, Nevada, that you are 7 feet tall. What does it feel like to be known as one of the tallest media members in the world?
Well, you know, in comparison to Chris, I guess. Chris, you know, you look. Everyone looks really tall.
How dare you? And how dare you say in comparison to Chris? You're talking to me. What is that? Is that like second person? How does that go?
No, it just came to me.
And I said, I asked you the very important question. How did you get so tall? And you said, my father.
It's your dad, man.
Is your dad a giant?
He's 6'4", too.
Was he a basketball player?
In high school, he claims to have set like the record in Nebraska for most free throws made like consecutively. I was like, "That's very impressive, Dad." Great stuff.
Wait, he claims your father claims to have the Nebraska record.
That's what he told me when I was younger. I said, "Okay, I mean, why would you make that up, right?"
Have you brought it up since?
He passed away a few years ago, so say it happened.
So that is there any way to check this?
I mean, why, right? Let's just have that in my head as a thing.
You just want that in your head? Did you brag to your other friends about this?
No, this is probably the first time I ever mentioned it in my life because, like, right?
I wonder if you were, like, really small and you claimed... It's funny you say that because this weekend we were riding in the car and I have a 7-year-old and I told him I told him I invented something. And he said, "You're not an inventor." And I said, "Yes, I am." And then I said, I told him I invented the microwave.
Kids will believe you. It's crazy.
I know. No.
I have some like little nephews and nieces. I tell them all kinds of wild stuff.
And so my wife, like about 10 minutes later, she's like, "He did not invent the microwave," right? She's explaining to my son that I did not, because I claimed to him that I invented the microwave. And then she's telling him that I didn't. And I'm like, "Don't listen to her. All right. I invented that thing," right? And so I do wonder, God forbid, I hope my passing isn't for a while, but that maybe like one day I'll die and then my kid, like you're saying my father set the free throw record in Nebraska, that my kid is going to run around telling people that his dad invented, because nobody knows who invented the microwave anyway, right? So it was just something I could come up with.
I sure don't.
Right?
Maybe it was you. Who knows?
You know, but I feel like that should be a very significant thing, right? Like, we all learn when we're little kids. Like, if I said, "Who invented the cotton gin?" You know who invented the cotton gin, right?
I do know that. Eli Whitney.
Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. It's like buried into your head at a young age. Yet nobody knows who invented the microwave. And I would say...
You know what's funny? Yeah. I don't know what the cotton gin even is. I have no idea what that is. But I know Eli Whitney invented it.
It's very significant to your life, Charks. You didn't know that?
Is it?
Yeah, it's the machine that separates cotton from its seeds so that you could use cotton into, right, like you need Q-tips and you need shirts and you need all
Q-tips.
Manner of things
wow.
that have cotton. All
right, he must be a very rich man.
This is not what people tuned in for, but I invented the microwave and Charks' dad... who is no longer with us, is the consecutive free throw record holder in the state of Nebraska. Yeah, see, now one of our listeners is probably going to go, like, try to look that up.
Don't tell me what the answer is, listener. Just leave that. Let me have my illusions.
I don't even know who are famous basketball players from Nebraska, because somebody could have broken it, right?
See, it's not really a basketball state. That's why it's like, I don't know. They play football there, man. They don't really have time for basketball.
I can't even. Do you think there are any from Nebraska? I don't know.
Yeah, there's got to be.
All right.
Eric Piatkowski, probably. Someone like that.
Tyron
Lue. That's right. That's a good one.
Tyron Lue is from Nebraska, and so maybe he broke your father's record.
University of Nebraska, great, I believe.
Yeah. I was going to say Taron, what was it, Petway? Is that the kid 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah, the guy with the braids.
Yeah, the braids.
Tyron
I like him a lot.
I think his name is.
All right, let's get to some of the free agency stuff that has taken place over the course of the last couple of days. First things first, Derrick Rose to the Cleveland Cavaliers. We've got big Cleveland Cavaliers news that we are going to dissect. But first, your reaction to Rose signing a deal, I believe it was a $2.1 million deal, to sign up with the Cavs.
It's just him and Jeff Green together. That's quite a second unit. Oy. Like, yeah. I don't know, man. I'd like to think he could be good again. It's really sad to watch him now.
I would tell you that yesterday when they were going through and they were saying he averaged 18 points, the numbers are not bad on their face. For as much as he has gotten killed, and I know it is, if his name isn't Derrick Rose and he wasn't one time one of the best players in the NBA and a league MVP, I do wonder if he is viewed the same way. Right, the expectations are high. If we just named him John Smith and we assigned him those numbers that he had last year, I don't know, man. I feel like maybe people have gone a little too far on the Derrick Rose hate. Am I wrong here?
He wouldn't get that many shots though if his name was John Smith. He wouldn't be able to hold the ball the whole game and just jack shots and not play defense.
You are really on the Derrick Rose slander charks.
I am. I mean, I liked him a lot when he was younger. It sucks. It really sucks to see him now.
You don't think that he will help the Cavaliers? You don't think that
he
that
might
was
a... as a second unit point guard? It's just, will he be willing to take a smaller role on a team? I guess he has no choice now, but it'll be a big adjustment for him to come off the bench or maybe not come off the bench.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking all this second unit stuff.
I wouldn't want to start Derrick Rose next to LeBron because I would just not guard him if I was defending the Cavs. I'd say, Derrick Rose, shoot as much as you want. Your man's going to guard LeBron James. Do what you got to do out there.
Not high on Derrick Rose. Would you rather have him than Deron Williams?
Here's some slander for you. At least D. Will can shoot threes. They both don't play any defense.
Wow.
I don't know. That's tough. They're both pretty washed.
You don't want either
of them. Is he still there in Cleveland, D. Will?
No. He's a free agent.
Okay.
Right? So that's what I was saying. It was a choice to make, right? I don't know what Deron Williams is going to get.
Derrick Rose. I'll say it. I don't care.
If we're talking backups, Deron Williams is still one of the better of those. There's not a lot of good backup point guards.
Yeah, and he can play off the ball too, which is nice. He can like go against bigger two guards and like kind of guard them a little bit. He was good in the playoffs for the finals. I mean, he's bad against the Warriors, but everyone is pretty much.
Yeah, but if you're out there, he's not good as your starter, but amongst other backup point guards, you can do a lot worse, and a lot of teams will, than having Deron Williams come off to run your second unit.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I think he's taken a smaller role now. He's accepted who he is. That thing about Rose, does Rose know who he is now? I remember those quotes last year about being in a super team in New York. Like, I need my point guard to understand his role in the league and his role on this team.
If you sign a contract for $2.1 million and your name's Derrick Rose, you probably got a pretty good sense of where you are now?
I guess that's true. That's got to be a very humbling moment for him.
Right, especially when you saw the contracts that guys like Luol Deng and Joakim Noah got last for their last contract, and now you're sitting at a table signing a deal that says $2.1 million? Come on, man.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody today about that. Like, if you look at these old Tom Thibodeau players, Deng, Ashik, Noah, Rose, like, those guys got squeezed one inch of their lives. They are all just completely washed now. It's kind of sad.
Oh.
I don't know. It's something to think about. It does make you think about it.
The mileage of it all and the...
Yeah, the hard driving where they play, never taking games off, playing a ton of minutes, a tense coach. It's tough.
The other one that came out yesterday was Pau Gasol's extension, which I was shocked by, Charks. I mean, he opted out, and then I was thinking, all right, well, what's he going to get? And I thought maybe a little longer deal. So maybe he gave up 16, but he gets an extra year and they sign him up for 20 or 24 or something like that, right? But he got three more years of what he opted out of, and he's 37 years old. And there were a lot of cases where Popovich was either screaming at him or benching him in the most high leverage situations. I was very surprised. If that was any other team but the Spurs that signed him, and they kind of get the Belichickian benefit of the doubt where it's just like you figure they're doing the right thing. But if anybody else would have done that, frankly, even that, even though they did, I think that that contract is really goofy to me and unlike them.
Yeah, the only thing that makes sense to me is it was already done beforehand. They said, "Powell, we need the space this year. If you opt out, we'll give you X amount of money over Y years." And they had big plans for the cap space. It didn't work out, and they kind of had to stick to their word. This happened with Richard Jefferson a few years ago in San Antonio, where he opted out and then got a big long-term deal. That must be what happened. That's my only explanation.
Just committing almost $50 million to a 37-year-old is implausible to me.
Yeah, I'd rather have Dewayne Dedman, like, straight up, than Powell at this point.
I was shocked. And they have not, like, you know, I know they've been mentioned in the Kyrie stuff. The Spurs have not had some kind of good offseason. They've lost, they lost Jonathan Simmons. They lost Dedman, as you mentioned. They re-signed Patty Mills, which is fine. And so, they're, like, as of right now, amongst all these teams where there was this huge arms race, they haven't been a part of it. Now, they might have something up their sleeve, but then when that was the move that was announced as a Spurs offseason move yesterday, I was like, what is going on with that? And they signed Rudy Gay, which I don't think is a particularly good signing, and he is a very un-Spurs-like player. I mean,
coming off an Achilles too.
Yeah, and the record for guys that are post 30 coming off Achilles is just, I mean, it's miserable. So
yeah,
I'm skeptical of that. I look at this Spurs offseason and like I don't know. They're usually the smartest guys in the room, but I don't like any of their moves, honestly.
I think it seems like they're setting up for next year. They'll have a ton of space next offseason, I guess, to go after somebody to put next to Kawhi. I'm not sure either, but that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
All right, so those were the two big ones yesterday. The other news that broke over the weekend is that John Wall signed his extension, and he got the four-year, $170 million extension. There was some bit of... I don't want to say worry, but concern, like, why hasn't he signed his extension? And you wonder if the way so many things played out this offseason affected his decision. But if you're a Wizards fan, you have to feel great because now you've locked in what is one of the, what, top 3 to 5 players in the Eastern Conference for the foreseeable future. I mean, who else in the East would you rather have than John Wall? LeBron for sure. Probably Giannis.
I think Giannis has more upside, obviously.
Okay, and then are
Wall's
we the Wall,
probably
though?
Better right now, though. I think Wall could be the second best player in the East, yeah.
You think he might be the second best? You'd rather have him than Kyrie. Is that right?
Definitely. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
And then Isaiah Thomas. I mean, I'm just trying to think of the guys that were all-stars last year. If we're so you in that conference, the way it is, the way things have played out, because Jimmy Butler is gone, because Paul George is gone, if we're having the discussion of the best players in the Eastern Conference, I mean, Wall's right there, right when you get past LeBron. I'm not sure if there's anybody you'd rather have. I think I'd rather have Giannis, but that may be it.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. No one else really, I think, is even in the same ballpark. I think Wall's at least, if not two, he's three for sure.
And don't you have to wonder if you look back at the way,
I guess Embiid eventually.
Yeah, Embiid for sure. Yes, Embiid can be on that list if he's healthy. But
yeah,
again,
if he's healthy,
we need more than 30 games out of a guy, right?
That's true.
And I don't want to slander the other guy. Like, listen, there's some good players still around there. Lowry and DeRozan are obviously really good players. Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, these are really good players.
I guess,
but
yeah, Hayward's
they're
up
not,
there now too.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, he elevated. Listen, if he was going to be the 15th best player in the Western Conference, he just moved into the top 5 to 10 in the other conference.
He just got like 5 straight All-Star bursts now.
For sure. And probably, possibly, some NBA Finals appearances in the not-so-distant future.
Yeah, if LeBron leaves,
That's for certain. Okay, so the John Wall thing takes place. He signs up long-term with Washington, and I do think... Now you team that up, and you have that core, and it is John Wall, and it is Brad Beal, and it is Otto Porter, because once Brooklyn made the offer to Otto Porter, they matched in Washington. If you are a Washington fan, are you down with that core? Let's just separate it. Forget. Let's say you're not a Washington fan. What do you think of their core? Because that is their core going forward, given the money that they have spent on it. John Wall, Brad Beal, Otto Porter.
Here's the thing. It's like, I like those guys. It's just the GM, I'm not sure he can maximize the rest of the roster. He gave their first for Bogdanovich last year. Now he's already gone. Because you look at it, Wall, Beal, and Porter were both top three picks. So he was basically gifted those players. Other than those three guys, like, what has he really done as a GM? Grunwald? That was what would worry me, like, long term. I guess Oubre's okay. Morris is all right.
I think he's okay. I think you're right. Morris is pretty good. Gortat's okay.
I feel like he's kind of slowing down, though. I think he got kind of exposed by Boston in the playoffs last year.
But their bench was just miserable.
Yeah, that's the GM's job. It's like, that's not hard to do, get a decent bench, and he could not do it to save his life. So that's what would worry me about if I was a Wizards fan. I like their top three, but is Grunwald good enough to maximize those guys with smart signings? I'm not sure about that.
All right, let's say they got a different GM. Just the core. Are you down? Do you like the core?
Yeah. I mean, it's a ton of money, but in the East, you got to do it. They're all really good players. I'm cool with it, yeah.
Okay. All right, let's get to the big story that everybody is talking about, and that is Kyrie Irving and the story that Kyrie Irving had requested a trade. This will be our Captain Morgan moment of the week. Even though it happened a couple of weeks ago, it did not get to light until over the weekend. Kyrie Irving goes and he says he would rather be somewhere else. And there were names on his list that included San Antonio. There's teams that included the Miami Heat. And also, to many people's surprise, and I know he's even from the area, the New York Knicks. Kyrie Irving would rather play for the New York Knicks than have to endure another year playing beside the best player in the world. And that is... just the fact that Kyrie Irving would rather play for the Knicks than alongside LeBron James is our Captain Morgan's moment of the week. No matter how you live like a captain, Captain Morgan reminds you to please drink responsibly. Captain's orders. All right, Chark. So the story comes out over the weekend. Brian Windhorst from ESPN says that Kyrie Irving went to the Cavaliers and requested a trade. Your instant reaction was what?
My first thought was he must know LeBron is going to leave next year. And then I heard that he wanted to leave LeBron. I was like, wow. That really threw... I was stunned to hear that. Like, I mean, LeBron James on your team, man. Life is good.
And the weird thing is now, if you are Kyrie Irving and you don't want to play with him, it's almost like it's the reverse of what you thought. If you thought that in a year he... It's almost like in a year, if LeBron leaves, then you would theoretically get what you want, right?
Yeah.
Like, you would get your own team. If you think he's leaving, you don't request a trade, right? Or am I crazy? Or you just can't bear playing another year with him?
The other thing that I didn't understand, like, I wonder what his real reasoning, because, like, why would you have San Antonio and Minnesota on your list if you want to be the man? If you go to Minnesota, you're not going to be the man. You're going to be probably the third option. In San Antonio, Kawhi's the guy, and you're going to have your stats depressed. Pop's not going to play a ton of minutes. Like, he's going to get a lesser... Those are small markets, too. That's what part I don't really understand, is what... The teams on his list don't really make a lot of sense for the rationale that's been given.
He would, on those two teams, probably be the most dominant offensive player, though. You don't think so?
Well, like, Jimmy Butler. Remember him and Derrick Rose quashed in Chicago about touches?
Yeah.
Butler's trying to get a max contract from a super max from Minnesota. Is he really going to let Kyrie hold the ball the whole game? I really doubt it. Butler, mm-hmm. He needs the ball. And then Karl Towns needs the ball, too. He's not going to take any less touches either.
That's for sure. No, I get it.
And you got Jeff Teague there still. He doesn't want. He wants to hold the ball. Like, yeah, that ball is Jamal Crawford's there.
But the thing with Kyrie's master plan is when you get the ball from underneath the backboard, you get to choose where that ball goes. Right? Like, that is the one thing on this. He is not dependent on someone to throw him the ball unless the guy that's inbounding it underneath throws it elsewhere.
You're about to see Butler and Towns just run the break themselves. They get the rebound, they're just going. Like, nah, we'll just take it up ourselves.
Right. All right. So you do see that list of teams that he would prefer to go to. But the whole idea that he just doesn't want to play with LeBron James, there's two things that are big about this. One is this whole idea that everybody, that people can understand wanting to be the man, that the number two guy wants to run his own show. And that's in many cases, whether it is business or whether it is no matter what profession you are in, many times the number two guy wants to be the number one guy. So that is not something that's outlandish, right? We want to tell everybody, just be happy being the number two guy, right? But some guys aren't wired like that. So there's that. And then the other thing is the way this whole offseason has played out with the Cavaliers, which I think by any standard would be considered a total debacle, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I think the whole David Griffin thing, you just wonder. And I heard Windhorst say this, which I thought was very smart, which is if he's there, maybe this doesn't happen. Maybe he can go to Kyrie and say, listen, just wait it out a year, right? Let's make peace with this. We're trying to win a title next year. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then if LeBron leaves, I'll trade you. If he doesn't leave and you want, or if he doesn't leave, we'll figure these things out. But just wait a year. And like there's nobody to have that conversation with, really. And so then you have this. And the next thing you know, you might could have traded for Jimmy Butler, and you might could have traded for Paul George, and you might could have traded for all manner of things, maybe things on draft night. But you never had a GM, and this whole Kyrie thing, it feels like very bad timing.
Yeah, just kind of like it always starts with the owner. If the owner is not on his game, everything else stems from that. I saw something they said like Gilbert has never had a GM re-sign with him.
Oh, I don't really? Know.
That might be wrong. I saw it on Twitter, so it must be true, but I have not double-checked that. But that's what I saw on Twitter. So.
Wow. So he is, and then they had the whole Chauncey Billups thing, which,
yeah,
again,
and he's willing to pay the guy his money.
Right. Well, again, with the Chauncey Billups, first things first, who knows if Chauncey Billups will be a good GM or not? We don't know. Right? We just assume he was a good point guard. He was he's obviously a cerebral guy, but we don't know if he would be a good GM or not. Okay? And then so you have that, which is not like some kind of nobody outside of people that would really know Chauncey Billups and have a much greater understanding of him, the man, than I would be out there saying, "What a great hire." Nobody, how do we know? We don't know. He has no track record doing a job like that. So we would know if it's a great hire. But then, so you already have a questionable hire, and then it becomes public that you can't even hire the guy that is not, like, forget home run. Like, we don't even know if he would be good at the job or not. And then it becomes so public and make you look so bad in the process is just...
I mean, when your GM, he wants to play in the big three over being your GM, that's tough. It does not look good.
Chauncey Billups, in fact, would rather be in the big three than run the Cleveland Cavaliers for Dan Gilbert.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of says
a solid
right
point,
there.
Sharks. And so now what? We have seen people generally think the return that Indiana got for Paul George was not enough, that they got the bad end of that deal, giving up getting Oladipo and Sabonis. People think that Jimmy Butler was robbed away. Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and then the number 7 pick, which ended up becoming Lauri Markkanen. What are the chances? Kyrie Irving is young. He is about to enter what should be the best years of his NBA career. He is in the middle of a contract. He has a couple years on a contract left. Do you think that this is like almost every other star we see get moved, and we will look at the return and think, oh my goodness, how did they do that? Or they just didn't get enough. Almost never does a star get traded and we love the return that the other team got. I was trying to think of one. I mean, people didn't destroy...
I guess Melo?
Yeah, people didn't destroy that one. The other one that people didn't destroy was the Minnesota one for Love.
That was probably the one.
Because they netted Wiggins, right?
Yeah.
But what are the chances that Cleveland is able to get, let's say they move Kyrie, that they're able to get great return. Do you think that somebody is going to give up a lot to get Kyrie Irving?
That's a good question. You see the thing Bill put out today about a 4-team trade where they got Wiggins back? I don't know. I think Bledsoe, I think probably. That feels like the most likely scenario is they trade for Eric Bledsoe, and then he either goes to New York as a 3-team deal or he goes to Phoenix. Seems like probably the best deal on the table, I would
assume. Well, because Bledsoe, and by the way, there would be another player in the East or going West, which would be just insane. Yeah, that story that came there was the one rumor that came out that was like that included Bledsoe and Josh Jackson, which I could not fathom that. I don't think that they would.
They don't want a rookie.
Huh?
LeBron's not going to want a rookie.
Oh, buddy, I'd take Josh Jackson along with Bledsoe in a deal.
I like Josh Jackson too.
Yes.
But I think they would go like Bledsoe and they'd get that pick that Heat gave them that's unprotected for Dragic. Then you have that pick.
And the reason this comes up a lot is because Bledsoe, obviously, it doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense there in Phoenix anymore, and he is represented by Clutch Sports.
Yeah, Clutch guy. And if you have Bledsoe, you get like, I don't know, TJ Warren or some Alex Len, and that pick, Bledsoe and that pick is the main thing, because that pick probably becomes something else pretty good, too. It's unprotected.
Well, then Kyrie would certainly have his own team. Well, him and Booker.
Yeah, I did an article about that today at The Ringer, Kyrie and the Suns. It'd be a tough, I think he'd be a good long-term fit for him, but he would find out the other side of the coin. Like, you want to be the best player on a young team, you're going to lose a lot. It's not going to be very easy.
No, it's going to be a while before the Suns win.
Yeah, I like their pieces, but Kyrie there is still probably 2-3 years away from being a contender.
Yeah, you have talked about, and it's funny because you wrote today, if we can, we could talk about this a little bit, the Suns emerging as the perfect summer blockbuster trade partner. And so whether that is Kyrie Irving or who knows. Listen, now, that one came out of nowhere. I was shocked by it, weren't you? That one came out of nowhere to me.
Suns?
No, the Kyrie trade request. Yeah. So all I'm saying is you never know who can when this news is going to drop. The NBA has gotten totally crazy. And so maybe next week there's somebody else that wants out. But just walk me through why you think the Suns are the perfect trade partner for somebody in order to land somebody big. This is clearly what McDonough, their GM, has been lining up for. I really liked Jackson. I like Ulis. Obviously Devin Booker is fantastic. I will tell you, and this is maybe just an overreaction after Summer League, I was not in love with Bender, and I was super disappointed in Marquise Chris. So I don't
know.
Yeah,
I think Chris has been disappointing. I still like Bender, though. I'm a Bender guy. I think the things he does well, he's super young. He can shoot threes. He's mobile for a 7-footer. He knows how to play. Like, I know that that's kind of a smaller thing right now, people believe in Bender, but I'm still a Bender believer. He's like 19 or 20. So they have 4 lottery picks under 21, Booker, Jackson, Bender, Chris. They've got Bledsoe's movable. They've got Ulis and Allen Williams, solid young players. And then they've got Len and TJ Warren, former lottery picks, who could be moved to. So, I mean, there's just a lot of pieces there.
And so now do you think that they, if
plus
we're lining,
pick.
Yeah, if we're lining up everything that everybody's going to make their offer, don't you think, though, you could get a great player in return for Kyrie? None of those are great players.
See, I like Eric Bledsoe a lot. Like, I think he'd be great in Cleveland. I'm a big Eric Bledsoe guy.
You know, the other thing is, he also, when I was thinking about that, like Bledsoe and Jackson and whoever they could throw in, I'm thinking of it through the prism of, and you've got to wonder, you got to think the Cleveland, management is thinking this, how do we build to beat Golden State? Like, do we with that in mind, and Bledsoe is the perfect kind of guy, I think.
Yeah, he actually plays defense.
Well,
I think, like,
he did. He
compared
used
to Kyrie.
He used to be the kind of guy that you couldn't get the ball past half court without it being a total struggle. I think the losing has really gotten to, I will say this, he has got the capabilities to be an elite level defender. I feel like he is short-shifted himself the last few years.
Well, I mean, it's
tough
to play elite defense at point guard on a young team who doesn't play. Like you're playing great defense. You got Marquise Chris and Bender behind you. They're still going to score, right? Booker next to you. It's tough to play elite defense on a team with young guys that's not going to win. You're like, you know what? Let me hold my energy. Let me get my stats. Like, on a good team, I think Bledsoe would be a lot better defensively, that's my suspicion.
Okay, well, here, we must mention the Knicks possibility. Because, A, Kyrie Irving wanted to listed them as a team. And they kind of have a guy on a big contract that they are looking to trade. And so, what are the chances we get that kind of a blockbuster? And would that make sense for both teams? If Kyrie doesn't want to be in Cleveland anymore and they're going to move him, and you've got the whole Carmelo no trade, but he says, fine, I'll accept a trade to go play with LeBron, could there be a deal there to be made? And would that be smart?
I think so. I think it makes sense to have Kyrie. I think you'd probably trade Love after that. You wouldn't want to have Love, Melo, and LeBron, because they wouldn't all start, and that wouldn't go very well. But I think if you can get Bledsoe, Melo, LeBron, and then trade Love for more wings, it's a pretty interesting team. From New York's perspective, you got a young point guard with Porzingis. Get rid of Melo. Then I guess Phoenix would get Nikitina, probably, and he gives them a young point guard. Like, I don't know if the money would work, but it makes sense for all sides. I could see it.
Okay, well, what about this? What about if they make that deal, and does that... I mean, wouldn't you need some level of assurance if you're Carmelo from LeBron? Like, yo, you can't... Because he's got a couple years left. So that's kind of the issue here, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Is if you are Carmelo, you go, yo, I got 2 years left, and I am not going to be in Cleveland by myself while you go off to L.A. Like, wouldn't you have to make that call to him and be like, all right, tell me you'll stick around for the next year? Because what I'm not going to do is accept this trade to Cleveland, and you may bolt next offseason. I could see that one stopping the Carmelo thing, just from Carmelo's perspective.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I think you would say, like, maybe if you have Carmelo and Bledsoe there, and you trade Love for like some defensive players, the team is better, possibly. Then he has more of his guys there. Maybe he's more willing to stay next year in Cleveland. Because Melo's one of his best friends. Him and Bledsoe are real tight. And it's all LeBron's guys. Like, JR's a clutch guy. Tristan's a clutch guy. Maybe that gets him to stay. The thing is, though, LeBron's not going to commit. Because LeBron's going
to
say...
I know, but that would be an intensely savage move to say, hey, yeah, Carmelo, come over here. Carmelo accepts it. And then next year, LeBron goes and plays for the Lakers. And Carmelo Anthony's a Cleveland Cavalier playing alongside Iman Shumpert and whoever.
Yeah, that would be savage, but it's a cold world out here. Because LeBron could say, I'll do it, and not resign. What's Carmelo going to do at that point? You know, he left Wade in Miami.
Carmelo's too smart for that.
That's a good point. I never thought that's a good point. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's because it just doesn't line up. If it's all one-year stuff, like, that's why the Paul George thing was perfect, right?
Yeah.
Because it's just 1 year. And so what? And that's the other thing on the whole... Because I know Bill put out there about this guy who's in the management at Oklahoma City, Weaver, wanting Carmelo. And I listened to his pod yesterday. He's talking about how he's a guy that recruited him to Syracuse and on and on and on. And that they are kind of circling each other. But that, to me, again, is the major sticking point. Where Carmelo, because he's got this power of the no trade, he would have to have total assurance, because we're talking about a couple other places. If he goes to Cleveland and LeBron leaves, that situation sucks. If he goes to Oklahoma City, and let's say those two others pick up and leave after next year, and then you got another year there. Like, because if Carmelo had a 1 year deal, then that would just open up Pandora's box to trade possibilities.
You but see the power of the no-trade clause. If I was an NBA star, give me a no-trade clause, please.
Yes.
Like, it gives you so much control of your career.
Well, because now look, because he's got that second year, if I'm him, I don't go to a place where I think the other guys might bolt. And that is certainly the case in Cleveland, and that is certainly the case in Oklahoma City. Almost nobody. You were at Vegas Summer League. Nobody thinks that Paul George is staying in Oklahoma City. Nobody.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Maybe it has to be Houston for him then. Only place where he knows they're going to stay long term. But then again, Paul's free next year. I guess Harden's locked in though.
Yeah, so at the very least, you're playing with James Harden.
Yeah,
long term. Yeah, and that Houston thing. That's what I kind of feel. I kind of feel like Carmelo would say no to this stuff. So now it's just figuring out what kind of return you can get for Kyrie Irving. I do think this. I think the Kyrie, and you started off by slandering Derrick Rose, so God forbid what you're probably going to say about Kyrie Irving. People have gone way too far on him. A, he is an amazing playoff performer. He is one of the best offensive players in the entire league. I think he was 11th in scoring. He averaged 25 points a game. He shoots 47% from the field. He shoots 40% from three. He can do it at a high volume. And then in the playoffs, he gets even better. I feel like it's gone a little too far on what level of play, in the bad way, on what level of player Kyrie Irving is. I think Kyrie Irving is one of the great players in the NBA. And now it's almost like he's put himself in this situation where it's like, I don't want to play with LeBron. And so people can kind of resent that, and they want you to just be happy being a second fiddle. But I'm not so sure. Like, I think it may have gone a little too far, Charks. You've probably got him ranked as, like, the 50th best player in the NBA.
I don't believe in rankings past, like, top five anyways. But, yeah, I have plenty of Kyrie slander. I mean, he's great. Obviously, he's an incredible offensive player. What he has against Golden State every year in the finals is incredible. It's just he has to be on the right team because he doesn't play defense. He doesn't pass the ball. He can pass. If he just passed the ball more, which is like tough for those scores.
I'm glad you're saying this. Because let me just stop you. I feel like with Kyrie Irving, this is going to get to the point. I finally think I've flushed this out. You've triggered something.
Okay.
When people bring up Kyrie Irving, and many in the basketball intelligentsia, they bring up what he doesn't do first. I feel like it went this way with Isaiah Thomas, too. All right? And at some point you go, dude, he friggin' averages 30 points a game. Or in Kyrie's case, he averages 25 points a game. And with games in the balance in the playoffs, he can get you a bucket. And if you needed 45 one night, he can just go get it for you. And so with guys like IT3, with guys like Kyrie, that's what I resent. Is that the first thing that comes up about them is their shortcomings rather than how awesome they are.
That's yeah, what I mean, I need a guy who can play defense, though, and a guy who can give me, like, 8 assists a game. Like, to me, that's just my philosophy. Like, I feel like points per game, it's how many shots you take, right?
It's the direct reflection. Then get Rajon Rondo. You had him in Dallas,
he doesn't play
Charles.
Defense.
You had him.
Rondo doesn't play defense either.
He did in the playoffs.
That's true. For two games against and by the way, who was guarding him? Isaiah Thomas. He looked amazing. See, Isaiah Thomas guarding him.
See, now you get back to Isaiah. I'm just tired of like these guys like Kyrie and Isaiah Thomas. It's like everybody's always telling me what they can't do. Let me talk about what they can do. These guys are like of all on planet Earth, which Kyrie may or may not believe is flat.
On plain earth, on square earth.
He is one of the five best people on it at scoring a basketball, in my opinion.
Okay, like, let's just go back. Like, Minnesota, to me, would you rather have Kyrie score the ball or Butler or Towns? To me, I'd rather have Butler and Towns scoring the ball on a team.
And so well, they're going to have that issue. Aren't they having that issue with Wiggins anyway? They're going to. They're going to have that issue with Wiggins anyway.
Well, yeah. I have Wiggins slander if you want that as well. But that's neither here nor there.
You hate him too?
Give me guys who play defense, man. It's tough time they don't play defense.
If their offense outweighs their defense, I'm okay with it. I mean, were you the guy sitting around crapping on Steve Nash during the MVP years?
You know I'm a Dallas guy. We were better without him, man.
Oh, God.
Here we go. The Mavs lost Steve Nash, added Jet Terry, and got better.
It feels like all the – like Isaiah Thomas comes up or Damian Lillard comes up or Kyrie Irving comes up or so Andrew Wiggins or on and on. So many of these guys. John Wall got it last year.
John Wall's like, great. He can play defense.
He can, but people will – he also died on every screen in the Boston series. He just did. And I do think there is some of the conserving energy to – be the amazing offensive players that they are. Clearly, anybody is capable of playing defense. Maybe Thomas.
Some guys are not. Isaiah is not capable.
Yeah, he might be incapable. He just might be.
No, he definitely might.
Genetic limitations.
Not. Yeah.
Like, he can play as hard as he wants, and he's never going to be tall.
Well, that's the thing about Kyrie is he could play good defense. It's upsetting to watch. Like, you could play, but you wanted to shoot the ball all the time and never play defense. It's like you're playing with LeBron James, that works. Other teams, maybe not as much.
I'll be interested to see. Do you think there's any chance he's a Cavalier next year? I really don't know.
Doesn't seem like it. But I think the Cavs, if I was the Cavs, I would not be like, let's trade him tomorrow. You got 3 months. Let's get a good offer. This is a very important deal, obviously.
Ringer NBA Show brought to you by Hotel Tonight. If you're like me and you're not so great at planning ahead, I've got good news for you. There's an awesome app called Hotel Tonight that helps you find amazing hotel deals at the last minute. It sounds counterintuitive, but unlike flights, hotel rates actually get cheaper at the last minute. And Hotel Tonight helps hotels sell their unsold rooms, allowing them to pass those deals along to you. These aren't last resort places. They're actually cool, top-rated hotels you can stay in. It's perfect for a spontaneous getaway or finally going on that trip you've always been wanting to take. Hotel Tonight. When you're out driving, like, how many times are you out on a long road trip and you want to stop off somewhere, but then you got to book a hotel on your phone? Like, you're just going to catch a night's sleep and then you'll drive the rest of the way in the morning. This is perfect for that, because even though the app's name is Hotel Tonight, you can book even up to a week in advance. So get in on these killer last minute deals. Download the Hotel Tonight app now. The show also brought to you by Saks Underwear. Oh, I've been telling you about Saks for a long time. A lot of you have responded telling me you've gotten it, and it is the best underwear you've ever had. I told you, shopping for new underwear does not seem like a top priority, but it should be. The right pair of underwear can make a huge difference, and that's Saks Underwear. They'll improve how you go about your day, even how you work out. So supportive, so comfortable, and they look good too. Saks has everything you didn't know you needed in a pair of underwear until you try them. I love my Saks Underwear. The feel, the fit, the patterns, they are the absolute best I've ever had, and no matter what you're doing, they've got you covered. They've innovated their design so you can move around freely in total control. Every pair comes with Saks' patented ballpark pouch. It keeps everything in place, no chafing, and there's nothing else out there like Saks. I want you to try Saks Underwear with my special limited time deal. Go to the URL saksunderwear.com/NBA. You'll get 20% off your first purchase. Go pick up a few pairs. Go to saksunderwear.com/NBA. That's Saks with two X's. For 20% off your first purchase, go to saksunderwear.com/NBA. LeBron James was reportedly eager for Cleveland to trade Kyrie Irving. LeBron went on Twitter this morning apparently, and responded, not facts, people. Boo. Get another source. Another tweet. LeBron James is extremely unhappy with Kyrie's trade request. Quote, LeBron James would be tempted to beat his ass. LeBron James says, hashtag not facts, people. Boo, get another source, enjoying my summer, you do the same. There you go.
I just feel like, why even secure LeBron? Why say anything at all? Don't respond to those comments.
Well, he also obviously didn't want to, because then if he got in this tricky spot where he wanted to act like the president, but knew there would be backlash if he acted like the president, and so he created the quote hashtag not facts. Like, he should have called it, like, the, you know, don't believe the failing Slam
fake
magazine
news
or something.
Oh, that would have been hilarious, yeah.
The failing Slam magazine?
Just own it, man. Hey, Trump is good at Twitter. He's, like, the world's best Twitter person. So
I love, by the way, I love Slam magazine. Shout out to all the people there. I also would have spit out my drink if LeBron James would have said, pay no attention to the failing Slam
that would be
magazine.
Pretty awesome. See, that would have been the Captain Morgan moment of the week.
It would have been the Captain Morgan moment of the week. But instead, he just put up, not facts, people. Boo. See, you could have done, like, you could have actually made this funny, too. You could have
done.
See,
LeBron needs writers. Like, he should pay us money instead of.
Right. You could have done fake news. You could have done alternative facts, right? But it is pretty funny that he addressed wanting to beat Kyrie Irving's ass. That's the headline. Of all the headlines that he could have pulled, the one that he pulled was LeBron James would be tempted to beat his ass.
It just makes him look ridiculous. Like, that makes him look real. I see why he responded. It makes him look so dumb.
What, that he would want to beat his ass?
300 pounds bigger than Kyrie. What does that prove?
If you beat his ass?
Yeah, Kyrie, different weight class. Doesn't mean anything.
It is interesting if we just examine the headline. What do you mean he wants to beat his ass? For what?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to play basketball with me?
I don't believe he thinks that. Like, there's no way that actually he said that. I don't know.
What if,
who knows? Hey, I guess Stephen A's got good sources.
At the very end of this, let me just play the let me just play devil's advocate one thing. I'm going to defend Kyrie Irving, right? What if Kyrie Irving came on here, and by the way, Kyrie, you are always welcome to come on the Ringer NBA show. And he said, and or you know what? Forget it. He doesn't say it publicly, but we're just out with him somewhere. He's like, I can't stand being around the guy. I can't take it. He drives me crazy. Everything's about him. All these locker room videos with him dancing in a leotard. Like, I don't want to be around him anymore. I don't like him. I don't like his homies. And I'm tired of it. And so I got to say what I got to say. But truth be told, I don't want to hang. I don't want to be with him all of next year. I just want to go somewhere else. Like, at that point, I almost feel like people would be like, oh, okay, he just doesn't like the guy.
No, I mean,
sometimes
I totally
you just don't
buy
like
that.
People. Sometimes you just don't like people you work with. Like, that would be the most plausible reason. Like, forget basketball and I want to be the man and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, we might just not like the guy. Like, that's totally possible.
You know what I would tell him? I'd be like, I totally get that. LeBron seems pretty unbearable, but part of being a professional is dealing with people you don't like. Do you think I like Chris Vernon? Do you think I like hanging out with him? I gotta do my job, though.
You know what? I'm gonna put up a headline. I'm gonna beat Jonathan. I wish I had never seen you, and you were like 5'7" or something. Because I would.
I'm not
put
a fighter,
up
though, man. I'm a pacifist. Oh. You could probably beat me up.
Really? What a fucking waste of size you are.
You are, since like middle school.
You are a waste of size, Charks. You
I get buckets, man. I'm not fighting people.
Oh, let me guess. You hold the Nebraska state record for three-pointers made in a game.
If I played Nebraska, man, I'm played out in Texas? Nah. We play real basketball out here.
Oh, you were a Texas basketball player.
Of course.
Oh, okay. So you tell me about the time that you got 4 points against Chris Bosh or something.
No, I'm actually, here's one. I remember I played Darrell Arthur when I was like in ninth grade. He was like in seventh or eighth, and I was like, that's it for me. I'm not playing in the NBA. This is Darrell Arthur, but like, he was way too good for me. I was like, wow, this guy, I have no chance of guarding him. He can score at me every single time he touches the ball. This is kind of sucks.
There was a kid who was the number, he ended up being the ACC champion, the ACC player of the year years ago, who played at Duke. His name was Chris Carrawell.
Oh, yeah.
When I was growing up, I went to, like, it was one of those tournaments we had. I was probably in, like, the seventh grade, and he was in the game before us, same age, and he dunked. And I was like, okay. Like, I couldn't even dribble with my left hand, hardly. Like, certainly not proficiently all the way up and down the court. And this guy was dunking, and I was like, all right, hockey it is.
Yeah, there's a lesson there. It's good to have, you know, everyone gets humbled eventually.
So there you go. All right. Oh, and by the way, let me just say this. Two things. First, the inventor of the microwave was Percy Spencer.
Is he American?
First sold in 1946.
U.S. guy?
That's 1946. I would not have guessed that as the year. So clearly, I'm not going to be able to hold on to that one. I do want, my goal is for my son to go to school and for him to tell his teacher that my dad invented the microwave.
That's pretty awesome.
Right?
He totally should.
Invented the microwave. The other thing is, I did want to say this. I am please do not, I have not talked to you since, so please do not ruin this and tell me that there has some kind of bad ending. You did get married, right?
I'm getting married on Saturday.
Oh, it's this Saturday?
Yeah, this Saturday.
Okay, I thought it was this past Saturday.
I would not be doing this podcast if it was this past Saturday.
That
would be
enough.
A quick divorce if I'm doing a podcast on my honeymoon.
Do you know where you're going for your honeymoon?
Cancun.
There you go. Well, congratulations, Charks, on the wedding. This will be a very stressful weekend for you, but I hope it goes extremely well.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Awesome. I didn't mean it, by the way.
Yeah.
I don't really.
It is very stressful, though. She's very, very stressed right now.
She is? Oh, yeah. Well, you made her plan the whole thing, didn't you?
I wouldn't say I made her. She wanted to plan the whole thing.
All right, give me one thing that you contributed to this wedding this Saturday besides yourself in the ring?
No, seriously, nothing. It's bad. It's bad,
one
man. I didn't do anything.
One opinion, one choice that you made, anything.
God, who my best man would be? I mean, seriously, it's bad. I feel terrible. She's very stressed.
And you're not helpful at all.
I tried, but I just, it didn't go very well.
Well, you'll be on a plane to Cancun and Kyrie Irving will get traded and they'll call you from the ringer and say, hey, we need you to write 1,500 words on Kyrie Irving getting traded.
I'm going
to
leave my phone in Dallas because, no, she made that very clear. There will be no work being done this honeymoon. My laptop, right, too, well, is going to stay in Dallas.
Congratulations on the wedding coming up this Saturday. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, Charks.
All right, thanks, man.
All right, that's going to do it for another Ringer NBA show. If you dig what you're hearing, give us a rating and review on iTunes. We will talk to you next week.